Do you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast and online community? These creative endeavors are produced by KFUO Radio, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We need your financial support during this year's Share-a-thon, April 3 through 5, to sustain the work we do to build our community of Lutheran women. Find your place to partner with us at kfuo.org/share-a-thon. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Today we have a leading lady episode, which means we have another Lutheran lady joining us in the studio. And she's probably very familiar to a lot of our listeners because it is Eden Keefe, president of the LWML, also known as Lutheran Women in Mission. Thanks so much for joining us today, Eden.
Thank you for having me.
It's very exciting to actually finally have you on the podcast. At some point, we were like, oh, we haven't had Eden yet. So
You've been on our list.
It's true for quite a while. The LWML convention is coming up this summer. So it is a very appropriate time to be talking about LWML and you and your leadership journey in the LWML. So first, tell us your elevator pitch story. Who is Eden Keefe?
Well, I grew up, I'm going to just share things that maybe you don't know.
Ooh,
I grew up on a dairy farm and went to St. John's College in Winfield, Kansas, but graduated from Southwestern. I'm a Johnny. That's right. Went back home to my hometown, which is a very small little rural area in South Central Kansas, married a hometown boy, and then we moved to the big city, which is the Kansas City metro area. We lived there for 27 years, and then we went to South Carolina for 7 years, and now we're back in Kansas City. And we just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary last year.
Wow.
So we have two kids. I did homeschool.
Oh, bravo.
To that. And now I have three grandsons that I enjoy.
Okay.
So that's my quick little tidbits.
Yeah, I want to know real quick. Is Eden a family name?
It's not.
It's a lovely name, and it's so unusual. I've not met another Eden. Did your parents just come up with it? They're like, we want something different? What's
my
the story?
My mother was reading a book by Elsworth Thayne. It was called The Yankee Stranger, and the protagonist's name was Eden, and she liked it.
Okay.
So I got Eden. And then my sister came along, and then it's like, now what do we do? We have to do something somewhat unusual for another girl. And so she got my great-grandmother's middle name, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, but it's pronounced the German way, which is Elisa.
Oh, beautiful.
Wow. That's pretty.
I love names. My kids love to talk about someday they're each going to have a dozen kids just so they can use all their favorite names. So I agree with you, Erin. Eden is a lovely name.
Yes.
And I'm glad you have it.
Yes.
I want to hear more about, we've had your bio with regard to your family and your geography, and kudos on homeschooling. I am in the thick of that right now and have massive respect for anyone who has graduated, retired, whatever you want to call it, finished the race of homeschooling. But I'm very curious as to how you got involved in LWML, and not just got involved, but apparently got really sucked in deep. Tell us about your relationship with Lutheran Women in Mission.
Well, it really started when I was young because my mom and my grandmas were involved with LWML and Ladies Aid. Uh-huh. And so my sister and I often got voluntold to help and be involved with things, whether it was making a poster or helping serve a meal or whatever. And so I had exposure at an early age and could just see that fellowship that they had and the things that they enjoyed. I mean, it was just as much fun to be working on, in all honesty, in the church kitchen as it was, you know, presenting a Bible study or something. I really didn't become mine until after I got married and we were up here and someone that I knew from back home also was up here at a church. And it was one of those, I'll go if you go with me kinds of things. So we got involved in a small evening group at a local congregation here. And that's when you start again. You make those relationships and you have opportunities to get involved in things and plan things. And every time you get involved in one more aspect, you get mentored and encouraged, I think, and affirmed, and you're used. I mean, your gifts are used. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's kind of what sucks you in, is because you feel value to what mm-hmm. you're doing and how you're involved, and you enjoy the people you're being with, and you see an impact in what you're doing. So then it just kind of leads into the next invitation, if you will, to maybe a district position or something like that, and then a committee, and it goes from there. But a lot of it is mentorship and encouragement and development.
Mm-hmm. So did you really, I don't know, are you one who saw yourself as a leader growing up? Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself often in leadership positions, or did this really come specifically through the LWML is really where you grew into this leadership?
I would say it was specifically more in LWML that I really developed more of that aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The leadership, because LWML does leadership training. Mm. And so you have opportunities to not only use your gifts, but develop them. Mm-hmm. And I think they just seeing that. And again, you're just saying, well, being affirmed in some of that, and then being asked to do another portion, but you're not ever really just left hanging out there by yourself. There's, you know, there's people around you that support you. There are things in place. There are resources. So,
yeah. Tell us more about the leadership training. I'm really curious about this now, because in my experience doing my master's in leadership, there's a lot of behind the scenes kind of personal development stuff that happens. And in my cohort, especially, a lot of times people that rise into leadership positions are people that didn't necessarily see themselves starting out as leaders, but somebody said something to them or noticed a talent or a skill, or they just happened to be in a leadership position because of whatever vacuum they're filling.
They and then saw a job that needed done and they stepped up.
And they stepped up, and then they're like, oh, maybe this is a thing for me. So tell us more about the leadership training and what you've learned about leadership in LWML.
Well, the leadership training that I was able to be part of, there were different programs in the past decades where they actually provided opportunities on it from national LWML, provided opportunities for women from what we call the district. So, you know, our state, to come in for some very specialized leadership training. It could be on casting a vision. And the idea there to be able to go through, like, how do you brainstorm? And then how do you prioritize? And then how do you come up with a plan for implementation and next steps? The idea was then you would then take it back into your district and then go work with groups that were maybe struggling and needed to sort of either a refresh or to be able to kind of go through with some evaluative program. So that was one way. In our district, my district happens to be the state of Kansas, Kansas District. That's not true of all districts. But in my district, we had annual leadership training for our zone and group leaders in LWML. And so again, using information and resources from national, we presented it on a district level to those who were serving more on the local level, so that they would have that to take back and use in their groups. Our district presidents come together for president's assembly, and we provide some training and equipping, but also just a really a good time for them to network, because we don't have, you know, a select group of people don't have all the cool tricks and ideas. It allows us to share them because there are some very, very creative women out there and how they structure things, from how they implement things, how they get things going. Pretty amazing. So it's just nice to have that opportunity to share ideas as well.
Before we go too much further, I want to take a step way back. Like, we assume that everyone listening has heard of the LWML and what you do. But I'm not sure that that's a safe assumption. So, but rather than, you know, giving us the long, boring spiel, not that anything you do is boring, but I would love if you could just, for the sake of our listeners who might be new to hearing about Lutheran Women in Mission, obviously you do leadership training and mentoring, which is fantastic and much, much needed in our world. But what would you say are two or three of the biggest, most notable projects or objectives that LWML has? In a nutshell, what are you training these leaders for?
Mm-hmm. Well, the training is actually one aspect. I would say that mm-hmm. they're one of four. Mm-hmm. The first one is we proclaim Christ. So what we do is centered on Christ. It's very much be in the word, prayer, strengthening faith life. The other ones, and what people most often probably think of, is supporting missions. And specifically with LWML, you might be familiar with the Mite Box, which is based on the widow's mite. And it's been in our history since 1942. Those are funds for mission grants. And those are done on both the district and the national level to a tune of almost $3 million annually.
Wow.
Now, yeah.
And you fund both?
Amazing.
Both national and international mission projects.
Absolutely. Wow. On both of those levels. And then the mm-hmm. third one is mission service. It's serving others. We see that a lot, again, in our local congregations, serving our communities. But it can also go beyond that to orphan grain train, for instance, or collecting eyeglasses for most yeah. ministry trips and those kinds of things. Yeah. So proclaim Christ, support mm-hmm. missions, equip women to honor God by serving others. That's our mission statement.
Okay. That's beautiful. Perfect. You know, I have grown up with Lutheran Women in Mission, but I need to be reminded of that because sometimes I forget. I just think of it as the ladies with the purple bulletin board at church.
Or the ones that do the quilts.
And no, that is, of course, that slots nicely into those four objectives, but there is so much more that often goes behind the scenes because I don't think you ladies are, I don't know, very blow the trumpet necessarily, certainly not at the local chapters. Like, and you always welcome people, but you do a lot of the work being unnoticed and unpraised outside of the LWML. But then, of course, when you get together in convention, then you blow the trumpet.
Well, you know what convention offers is the opportunity for women to hear other people blowing the trumpet, in all honesty, yeah. because that's where you hear the speakers who have been impacted with those mission grant funds,
right?
And they share the impact that it has. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not really our story to tell. It's their story to tell. Right. We love that they tell it. And at conventions, you hear that more. So you're right. There's a little bit more trumpet blowing.
Whenever that comes up, we always have to give a shout out to the LWML for furnishing our lovely podcast studio a few years ago. Podcast studio and our app. That was an LWML mission grant that allowed us to totally revamp our podcasting experience. And we are thankful for that every single day that we're able to.
Oh my goodness. That was such a game changer for us.
Yeah.
Such a game changer.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't that perfect timing? I mean, God had that perfectly timed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I remember the old studio with just the little, like, having to sort of contort our heads even to, like, see each other's faces, even if we were all in the same room.
It was terrible.
Can you and move the over just that you four put into- inches and yeah. I'll get a slice of you.
I'll see maybe your eyeball. That's about it.
Yes. Mm.
So, yes, thank you again for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of LWML, at least from what I've seen, my mom is still involved in Ladies Aid, the church where I grew up, and the LWML group at my church is very, very active. And when we go to conventions, we go to district convention, national convention, it's a big community. From your experience, just as a participant and now being in charge of things, why is a community of women like this so important for women across all different stages of life?
I think, you know, we're really seeing a shift, even maybe back to wanting to those close connections. I don't know that I've ever gotten away from it, but I've always loved and valued my girlfriends. But having sisters in Christ, that's just a whole nother level. I mean, they pray for you and they pray with you and they encourage you in your faith walk and they give you opportunities to serve alongside and walk alongside. Sometimes that's grieving alongside. Sometimes that's blowing the trumpets alongside. But there is just something about getting together and doing it together, which has been really from the beginning, you know, the whole idea of, again, those mite boxes, pennies, nickels, dimes in the 1940s, not doing that much if it's just mine. But when it comes together and they're collected with everyone's, then we make a big difference in God's kingdom. And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did it make a difference for you? Because you've been involved in LWML since for a long time now, through different stages of your own life. How has it been a blessing for you throughout all of your different stages, homeschooling, moving, all these things?
Because I always had a place. Really? When you said about the moving, that was probably when it came into sharp focus for me. Because when we moved from Kansas City to South Carolina, my husband moved with a job, but I quit mine. And of course, we were gone from church, all our families in Kansas. But I was serving on a national LWML committee at that time. I was also serving as a district officer, but I couldn't take that with me.
Right.
So here I am in a totally new place and I don't have like a work environment to get to know people. We were blessed to have a church that we immediately got involved in. And that was a lovely experience. But to be able to still do something with LWML in a way that was non-geographic was a huge blessing because that continued. Everything else kind of had to start new and start fresh. That kind of was that continuity for me. And that was really beautiful for me personally. Because I could move away and still be connected. Until I formed new friendships and got involved in the Carolinas district and served there and got to know those ladies. Another blessing, which I still take with me back in Kansas.
Right.
Isn't it amazing how being uprooted like that really brings a new awareness of the Church Universal and how in Christ we have a family wherever we go.
And those connections.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was at, well, he's been at a couple LWML conventions, but in Milwaukee, as we were coming home, he said, you know, if you can't find connection in three questions, you're asking the wrong questions. And it's true. Lutheran Church is just, I love that fellowship and that connectedness.
Yeah. What are your favorite questions?
When you're trying to establish a relationship, it's always easy. Where are you from? Where do you go to school? And those kinds of things are usually just pretty softball ones to find.
Those do.
The Johnny connection.
It's just started. Mm-hmm.
That'll connect you to a lot of people. My in-laws are also Johnnies, so I'm on the lookout for them wherever we go places.
I want to talk a little bit more about community because that is a huge focus of our work here on the podcast, is our task of finding and celebrating all the little minutiae of the community we share through our fellowship in Christ. How does LWML, through bringing your mites together and figuring out what to do with them, how does that build community among the women who participate?
I think it's because you have a shared purpose. So that from a mission grant standpoint, I think you see it a lot more on a local level when you come together and actually do service projects. At the retreat I just mentioned, we had a portion of the time was kind of craft time, but they were really service oriented. We tied fleece blankets and you could do that as long or as little as you wanted. We came over and they were using stencils on white bandanas, decorating headscarves for cancer patients. And you could sit and you could visit and you could kind of just come up with what you were going to use. Or we were putting together cards for members of the service. And it was all laid out. So you didn't have to think too hard. You could put things together, do a little coloring. You could write a note if you wanted to. But again, it was just that sense of community of doing something for someone else, but together. And we had some amazing conversations about cancer journeys and challenges of stay-at-home moms or challenges of working moms. And it was just a wonderful time that we don't get like on Sunday mornings. Mm. And I think some of that also happens because you have group events or meetings, you know, quote unquote meetings, but group events, you might do that on a larger level regionally or in your districts. And again, women, they come away from their regular lives and they come together and they're in Bible study and they're singing and they're sitting down at table with one another, eating and just sharing life, but in a way that's very safe because it tends to be, you know, covered in our God view. Mm. So
in your role as president and through the years in your different leadership role, I bet you've heard stories from a lot of different groups. Are there any standout ones where you're like, well, now that is a really creative approach to coming together to serve that also is really just fostering the community? It sounds fun. Anything that stands out as you think over?
Currently, I know that there is a new church plant, relatively new church plant out in Kansas, and they are getting together kind of like after work, but before supper.
Okay.
So they're like looking at that 5:30 time frame. Uh-huh. And there might be times when, let's say, they get together with some wine and cheese and they're just finding what fit for the group that is meeting. I think that's pretty exciting to do that. We have two groups at our church and we're set up differently because of what they want to do. And so mm-hmm. I love that part. Creative. We saw a lot of creative things happen, honestly, in COVID.
Oh,
when
yeah.
people could not yeah. gather together. Yeah. So like, mm-hmm. okay, how are you going to collect, if you will, your mission mic? Because normally that's just kind of part of your rhythm and routine of going to church or going to your meeting. How are you going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, we'll have a mobile drop-off up at church. People can get out, stay in their car. So, you know, if they wanted to stay in their cars, but they could get out from the house, come by, drop off their mic box, say hi, wave, or we did porch pickups.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was just so creative how women can be when trying to work toward a shared purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How have you seen women grow and blossom through different activities and different leadership positions or different opportunities to serve? Maybe they come in and not really knowing what's going on and you've seen them grow. Do you have any stories of women who have really shown what the LWML can do, what this community can do for women?
I'm going to share a little bit about my daughter and her friend, Allie and Amanda. They first met at a district convention and they were both YWRs from two different churches, but in the same area, as it turned out. They were roommates. And that friendship that grew out of that shared experience led them to say, what if we join a group of for our age? And it doesn't have to be tied to a congregation. What if we live in a metro area, so there are a number of churches mm-hmm. with close proximity. Let's reach out and say, are there any our age that would like to get together? And they started meeting at a coffee shop and maybe they did a mission service project. Then it kind of morphed and what they found is they were really hungry for some really strong Bible study. So they started meeting and rotating around homes and meeting for monthly Bible study. And it's kind of morphed to we get involved with our own churches for kind of the mission projects thing, but mm-hmm. we come together for that. Then they both have used those gifts and grown because of maturing in their faith, I think, and just leading a small group that they've both gotten involved in other things in the church.
Yeah.
And in LWML, whether it's serving on a committee on the district level, or helping out at VBS and putting some program together, or like Allie led Bible study at the retreat and set up one of the stations for the sermon events. It's just been lovely to see them work their way up and share their gifts and talents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, obviously, we talk about leadership as if it is an unqualified good, but we all know that there are lots of examples of unhealthy leadership in our world today. But what you've described, of course, is exactly how it's supposed to work. What do you think sets apart a really good leader using really solid leadership technique, I suppose? Technique's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think you have to be in the word. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to really struggle as a leader if you're not at least in what we're talking about, the concept of what we're talking about, if you're not really, really grounded.
Yeah.
And you're grounded in the word. I found that you start and you end things with prayer. And when things come up in the middle, maybe it's tough decisions, maybe it's just guidance. Doesn't have to be tough decisions, but just guidance for decisions. Stop and ask for guidance. Invite the Holy Spirit to come in and be part of what you're doing. So I think those two things are key. Mm-hmm. And then not thinking you have to do it all yourself. Because I don't think leaders are called out to me. I know. See, I'm preaching to me sometimes. Yeah. You're not called as a leader to do it all yourself. You're called to walk with others and have others invite others to join in with mm-hmm. you. And you're called to ask counsel when you need it. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably, I mean, you can always do the tips and the techniques and those kinds of things, and they're helpful and they're good, but you just have to have that Christ-centered focus, I think. Mm-hmm.
I see that definitely in your story about your daughter and her friend, how that their increasing leadership roles really sprang out of them finding ways to be in the Word together and maturing in their faith, that from that growth sprang additional opportunities for servant leadership. So I think you've definitely got the basics.
And you know, we talk about leaders like it's a specific position, but to me, leading is just influencing. And there are a lot of women that lead from behind the scenes that influence. And you lead in your home because you influence, you know, in your home and in your church and at work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be tied to a position to be a leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that comes up, I think, most anytime we talk about leadership. When I'm talking about the stuff I'm learning from school, from my classwork, I mean, nearly anybody is a leader in any position, vocations, moms in the home. I mean, it can be in the workforce, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. I mean, you're leading your friends in groups or whatever. So it's in a variety of places. And I love the focus on word and prayer because that's where all the wisdom comes from, right? What are some challenges and joys on both sides of the coin that you've experienced in your time with LWML?
I think the challenge is not to always do what you've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Change? But it's also, what?
And it's also a joy when you step out and do try some new things. And some of that, you can even have the best intentions not to to be in the rut. But sometimes when you get into a position, it feels like you're, and I'm going to speak a little bit from the president standpoint, you feel like you're being so reactive instead of being proactive. You come in thinking, I'm going to be proactive and I have, you know, this kind of idea or whatever. And then you've got your inbox is just like deadlines and agendas and write this article. And I always feel like I'm kind of just trying to keep up with those kinds of tasks and responsibilities. So really a challenge, I think, is how do you have a foot in both camps to be strategic, to be forward thinking, to be creative in how we engage our women and yet still get the work done?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone wants to be proactive until they see the length of the email that need replies like yesterday. How do you do that? How do you carve out time and mental space for that big picture, proactive strategy thinking, even while trying to keep up with the day-to-day grind?
Well, I've been pushed to do it for one thing. I mean that in the best way. But we have undertaken as a board to do strategic planning. So we had to carve out time and it had to be extra away from above and beyond, right? Our positions. To just step away and do that part. And then you know, you don't just do it once and done. You do it, then you come back, you kind of have homework and you come back to it again and you say, okay, now we've done this, what are our next steps? Implement, communicate, you know, and then it will be ongoing. It just has to become a part of, but it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a work in progress for me.
Yeah, but I like that. It's sort of like you're not getting, you set aside time in your daily grind to step outside the daily grind intentionally. And you actually make that strategic planning part of the workflow, not something that you'll do when you get around to it, but something that is part of your daily or weekly or seasonal routine. That's very, very good advice. I've often admired the LWML as being a very well-run organization. And I know it probably doesn't always look like that from the inside, but you all give the impression definitely of having things sort of worked out. And I know that that doesn't happen without a lot of proactive strategic planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it happens because there is structure. But again, the challenge is not to always stay within that structure and just do what we've been doing.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite parts of your time wearing the press pin?
The joys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have loved getting out away from the computer, the inbox, the agendas, as important as they may be, to go out to district conventions, our board of directors. We send a representative to each of our district conventions, and there are 40 of them in the even numbered years.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a little bit of traveling, but to see the women where they are serving. Mm. And when you go even within your district to events and you just see them where they are serving and the joy that they have, the ideas that they have, that is refreshing because that's where you really see it work, right? That's where you get rejuvenated and that kind of thing. One of the fun things for me was being a pedal pusher.
Oh,
Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Okay.
And that was not in 2024, but in January of 2024.
Okay.
Their parade float down in San Diego. Oh, yeah.
Pasadena? Yep.
Oh, Pasadena.
Pasadena? Yep.
Oh, it's all California.
That's cool.
No, sorry, Californians.
We love you. But that was a really fun experience. If you want to see something that's a well-oiled machine where everybody can use their gifts, whether you're someone who wants to sit and do something or someone who wants to constantly be moving or do the little finite details or do the big, that is a really beautiful example of that. Yeah.
That's
been a lot of fun.
So impressive.
Cool. When you come to convention, you also go to those conventions and come to the national convention, being able to meet people that have been out in the mission field.
Mm.
And hear their stories and the impacts they have seen from the mission work that's funded. There's just, I don't know, that is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I was just at Best Practices not too long ago and visited with a number of people, Amy Fanta with Camp Restore up in Detroit, and just to see how the difference they're making in kids' lives in those neighborhoods. And then the families, and then the neighborhood and community. When you talk with Dr. Paul Dasari with India Bible Study Translators and his vision for how to get the Word of God and the study notes into the languages for the Indian people, that's exciting. And you see Reverend Paul Irwine with Forged by Fire, and he's stirring that big bad of jambalaya. And we talk about, you know, how he responds in disaster response situations with LIRT, Lutheran early response teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hear them tell their stories. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joy, definitely. And some of that will be shared also at convention.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun.
Yep.
What have you learned about our church body that maybe surprised you or just kind of, I don't know, puts you in this state of wonder and awe? Just about Rachel mentioned the global church, just how big the church is. What have you discovered? What have you learned? What do you love?
I think it's not some, much what I've learned, although it's been a learning process, but what I've learned to cherish about our church body is how closely mercy work and the gospel are tied. Because, you know, anybody can provide a meal, but if you provide a meal with prayer over them, if you can provide books in Braille or specialized large print, but when you can provide the Bible or the Spanish Bible, which is just huge right now, in Braille or specialized large print, what a difference that makes, not just for the immediate need, but has impact for eternity. And I just think having the mercy work can tied to the good news of Jesus, that's the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plain water with the living water. You know, you just... That's what I've learned to cherish, I think, about our church body.
I want to look forward in a different way. Because obviously you are doing this work now and you are good for it and it is good for you. Someday, though, you will pass the mantle of leadership on. And I'm curious, how would you describe the kind of Lutheran woman leader who would really thrive in a position like yours? What kind of qualities, if you were picking your successor, would you look for as someone who would do this work well and with joy?
As I have gotten to know and serve under past presidents, our personalities are very different.
Yeah.
Some are very extrovert. Some of us are more introvert.
Yeah.
We all have different styles of leadership. I think God just uses you where you are. And probably the thing I would suggest is that you have to be malleable to the Spirit.
That's a big thing.
It is a big thing. And really model more Jesus, the servant leader type of position, because the president, you see that as a face, right? Maybe, but really the board, and we're all just, we're just working to support the women in the pew. And I'm going to take a little rabbit hole here and I'll say, I think we can do that because we are the women in the pew.
Yeah.
Our district presidents and district leaders and our board of directors, we're all women in the pew. We're involved in our local groups and we're in Bible study. And I think being strong in the word, having a very strong foundation and a mature faith, having godly counsel at your disposal and the support of your family, because it's a sacrificial position and you can't do it without support. So it's not so much a certain leadership style as just being really grounded and having support, I think.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you answering that question because I think you've just described the kind of leader we should all aspire to be, whether or not we ever find ourselves in the kind of role that you currently enjoy, but to be malleable, to be a servant, to remember that you are, whatever else you may be, you're just a baptized Christian in a pew, that you can't do anything without the support of your family and working with and raising up the people around you. So you say that very well.
Well, Rachel, I was thinking you said that very well. That's right. But I like what you said.
I got all the words from you, my friend.
She makes us all sound good when she reframes it. I'm like, yes.
Speaking of leadership qualities.
Nope, I'm just an editor. That's what I do.
Oh, there's no just about that. Oh, is it time to talk about convention? Because I'm very excited to talk about convention.
Let's hear some inside tidbits.
Yeah, we all had a fabulous experience in Milwaukee. I can't believe that was already almost 2 years ago.
I know. That was more fun than anyone should actually be allowed to have.
Yes, very much so. That was such a whirlwind experience, but one of the like highlights of, I don't know, the last 10 years of my life, hands down. But there's another convention happening this summer. Let's first talk the specific details and then we'll talk about what actually happens at convention. I know we have listeners that haven't been to a convention yet. So what is the convention, the details for the summer, where and what and all that stuff?
Okay, the deets.
Yes.
It is June 26th through the 29th. It will be at the CHI Health Center in Omaha, Nebraska. And we will start, as we normally do, with a opening worship with divine service and Holy Communion, and we'll end with ascending service. So some of those things I was talking about being in the Word and receiving God's good gifts, we try to model that, mm-hmm. not only in our groups and in our districts, but also national. And so mm-hmm. we will have Bible studies. Our Bible study leader on stage will be Christina Hergenrader. And if you have not heard her, you will be blessed. You will mm-hmm. be blessed. We will have Mites in Action speakers. So you will get to hear from people that have received funds what the impact has been in their areas of ministry mm-hmm. and mission. And that will be, I think that'll be really exciting because it's diverse who will be with us for that. We'll have servant activities for those that like to be busy. The pre-convention specifically, we do have some servant activities that you can do there at the convention center. And you can also, of course, donate things for three recipients as well. We have a mission walk. We have a golf tournament before convention. That's always a fun one for some. Yeah. And we talked about leadership training. We have pre-convention seminars for some of our district leaders that are available pre-convention.
Yeah.
I have to ask, will there be skits?
Oh, we do have our comic duo of Jan and Abby will be back. Yes.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yes. Aren't they? Oh, my goodness. It's just fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've ever been to a convention, there is, of course, there's business that gets done, yes, and there are speakers, and that's wonderful, but then just the chance to laugh at and at ourselves is wonderful. And we do have Jenny Williamson is going to be sharing our Saturday evening entertainment, and she does music ministry.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, ooh, so we'll be nice. Doing that this year.
You know, I have often thought that our church conventions in general would be made better by the consistent use of comic interrupters, which I believe you guys patented that.
Yeah. We're doing something a little different this year. If you remember in the past, and in Milwaukee, we did kind of that Friday fest. And this time we're trying our Friday night as kind of it's your night. Ooh. So Donna Snow will be doing a Bible study. Deb Berman, her husband, Reverend Corey Burma, will be mm-hmm. teaming up for a Bible study. There will be receptions. There will be karaoke in the exhibit hall where you can go shopping or check out the exhibits. So it's just a little bit more flexible to what you would like to do on Friday nights. So we're going to try that this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. Friday night is always a... That is a busy night if you're an exhibitor, at least in the past it has been.
A busy night and then just a lot. So we're trying to take that
can be
down
overwhelming.
A notch.
Yeah. Talk more about the mission walk because I've been to the spot in Omaha where this is happening and I'm very excited about this mission walk.
So there's a pedestrian bridge, the Bob Carey Bridge, and there's actually the baby Bob that will take you from the convention center over street so you don't have to cross any streets or anything to get to the Bob Carey Bridge. And it's our first ever bi-state mission walk because if you walk over the bridge, you'll be walking over the river. And in the middle, at the midpoint, you'll be in Iowa.
Yeah.
So you can actually start Nebraska, go to Iowa, and come on back.
What river are you crossing?
We talked about this before we started, girls.
I'm going to Google it in a minute, but I'm going to say it's the Missouri River. But
Missouri,
let me just check here. And I want to know. I'm the trivia queen here, so I've got to see.
Maybe.
It is the Missouri River. Ha, ha, ha.
So you get the points for that. I knew the Bob Carey Bridge.
I never get points during the trivia challenges, so I need some.
And the baby Bob.
And the baby Bob.
Yeah.
Well,
I've actually ridden my bike across that bridge. It's beautiful. Highly recommend Mission Walk. It is very cool to like stand in the middle and be like, I'm in two states.
Yeah. Like, what'd you do today? I walked to Iowa and back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, that sounds like it's going to be amazing. And what is the theme of this year's convention?
That's a great question.
Growing in God's grace. Perfect for the heartland, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's based on 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Excellent.
So that I'm excited to hear how our keynote speaker, which is Reverend Chris Whitby and Christina Weave, that in what they present to us. Yeah.
I'm sure it will be beautiful.
It will be beautiful. It will be soul tending.
Yes. Soul tending. Yes. I wonder if you have any final words of encouragement to our listeners who may be, obviously they now know a lot about LWML, but since this series is about leadership, who may be struggling to imagine themselves or have the courage to step up into leadership roles. How would you encourage women in our church not to be afraid to use their gifts as servant leaders?
I think one of the keys, there might be some people that are comfortable stepping out on their own, but by and large, I think it probably works better if you do, like, I'll go if you go, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. If you go alongside with somebody. I know I've co-chaired before, I've been co-president before, and it was really nice not to have it all on me, where if I couldn't be there that month, someone else, you know, could slip in, or Christy would do the agenda and send it out and run the meeting. I think working together is a really good way to kind of step up into that. Sometimes it's just learning the ropes is really helpful, because you don't see a lot of the behind the scenes. Right. You at an event, you are not aware of what everything went on before to make it happen. And so kind of being able to walk along with somebody where you don't even have to have that title, but you can kind of help with the work and assist, allows you to just be a little bit more confident, I think, in what you can bring and how you can serve, because maybe the person you're serving with really needs help with technology. Mm-hmm. She may have it all together, but not know how to run a Zoom meeting. And maybe, you know, that's the way you step in and help, or how to set up a computer to a projector for a PowerPoint or whatever. So I think a lot of it is just kind of coming alongside and getting involved and just trying some stuff would be tips I would have from my experience.
Wise words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Community is a beautiful thing, and encouraging each other, lifting each other up for yourself. And if someone else is like, hey, come do this with me, being open to that opportunity to serve and to have the community with other people, being willing to be asked.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to be a little patient with that. I learned that when I moved to South Carolina, just because you come in and you don't know exactly where you fit in. I mean, you knew what you did at your church, but you're coming into someone else's house to a certain extent and kitchen.
Yeah. You know how that goes. Oh, yes.
and it may take a while to just kind of find out where you might fit in that structure there. And it might be that once you establish relationships with people, then they're a lot more willing to listen to new ideas. And if there's something that you see that you might have that isn't being done, you can offer it and it's accepted a little bit more readily if you've worked alongside them in the stuff they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at some point, maybe you'll be trusted to make the coffee.
Miracles maybe. Can happen. Yeah.
It's baby steps, baby steps.
Yes, it is baby steps.
Yeah. But I think that, Sarah, but what both you and Eden are saying, that being willing to take a silent partnership role at first to build those relationships, to build that trust. And then when someone does come to you and ask you to do something, ask you to take charge of something, being willing to have the courage to say, yes, I think probably, Eden, that might be how you ended up where you are, is simply saying yes when needs arose and somebody asked you.
Be brave.
Yeah.
You can do it.
We'll be your cheerleaders.
Yeah. If you need
cheerleaders. Always appreciated.
Eden, this has been so fun to be able to chat with you. And we'll see you this summer at the LWML convention.
Yeah, face to face.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for offering to visit with me. And thanks for letting me share about convention and Lutheran Women in Mission. And I just want to encourage those that are listening, don't be discouraged when you're looking for where you fit in, because you have gifts to offer. And I was at a chapel earlier this week, and we talked about those little mites, but they're mighty mites. And what we do and how we serve is never insignificant when we're doing it in faith. God will bless it. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope you find ways to serve with joy.
Yes. We will put the link for the LWML convention in the show notes for this episode. And of course, ladies, if any of you are listening, find us at the LWML convention. KFUO will be there.
Will there be a big pink couch, Sarah?
There are plans for a pink couch again. So come hang out on the pink couch. It's a thing now. We can't not have a pink couch.
Yeah.
At the LWML convention. Come find us on the pink couch. We'll be hanging out and come chat. And also come find Eden. It'll be a good time. Ladies, you can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Share your own LWML stories in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, and also on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. We'll chat with you there. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.